Okay. Well, being Father's Day, I was thinking about my dad. And I realized that not everyone's memories of their dad are good. And by the grace of God, if that is the case, we can release forgiveness and we can rejoice. Amen. Because we have a Father who's perfect, Amen. Who loves us. But I was really blessed to have a hands-on dad when I was young, when I was a kid. And I think I might have told you this before, he was hands-on. Like after a bath, he would dry our hair and massage our scalp. He was one of those people that was kind of intense, so even if he was holding our hand across the street, you know, we would lose circulation, definitely. But I credit the fact that I so far have no cognitive issues with the fact that he massaged my head so many times as a kid, so hard, that I think the circulation to this day is probably better than it would have been without my dad. He used to take us to see the cows after dinner. That was a big event. I really have no idea why we didn't get bored with that fairly quickly. I mean, cows, but really. But the fun part was that as we got older, we used to tease him a lot and tell him how every time we smelled manure, we'd think of him, and he'd laugh and laugh. I used to love watching my dad watch the Gleasons. Remember them? A pretty awful show, actually, but he would laugh so hard. My dad was one of those people who laughed so hard that, you know, you'd be rolling on the floor because he was so funny. One time we were in Barbados and I was with my mom and dad there. We were going for a walk along the beach. This was after I was married. And my dad used to like to just sort of take a moment and lie down in the sun right on the beach. And I guess he must have dozed off, because this particular day the waves were coming. The waves were coming in like closer. And I was standing there and I'm watching my dad thinking, do I like stir him and tell him what's about to happen, or should I just stand here and watch? Which of course is what I chose to do. So I stood there and watched till the wave finally came and just like splashed right over him, and it was very funny. It was hilarious. We laughed. So I'm happy to be able to remember things about my dad that were really great. Anyway, today we're going to talk about Father's Day and about God being our Father and why that actually matters so much. There's a verse that I'm going to read to you. You don't have to look it up. It's one that you know, but it's 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. I'm just going to read it from the Passion Bible. It says, "Look with wonder at the depth of the Father's marvelous love that he has lavished on us, because he has called us and made us his own beloved children." Now, J.J. Packer, who is a great theologian, said that this was the ultimate climax of the Bible, that this was what made the New Testament better than the Old, that this was the essence and the epitome of Christianity, was the knowledge of God as Father. In fact, he said it this way. He said, "You can sum up the whole New Testament teaching in a single phrase. If you speak of it as a revelation of the fatherhood of the Holy Creator, in the same way you sum up the whole of the New Testament religion, if you describe it as the knowledge of God as one's Holy Father, if you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity," that's pretty powerful. "If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his Father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls our worship and prayers and whole outlook on life, it means that we do not understand Christianity very well at all." God is not just a pattern to follow, but he's a person who loves. He is a father who loves. A Christian, the best definition of a Christian, J.J. Packer said, that he ever saw, was a Christian is someone who knows God as Father. not only knows that God is Father, but knows God as Father. And Jesus made a big deal out of this. He talks about his Father all the time. And in the Gospel of John, in chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, he went to a lot of trouble to explain to his disciples what this relationship with this Father was going to look like. He talked about his Father all the time. He said, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am the way to the Father. I am the truth and the light. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so this revelation of God being our Father is extremely important to God. If our goal in life is only to improve ourselves, then we've lost sight of what the gospel is. There's so many things out there today that will, like self-help types of books that will help us, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's good to want, we all want a good life. We all want to be healthy. We all want to be successful. And there's a lot of wisdom out there. As long as you can discern whether or not it agrees with the Bible, it can be very helpful. But it's never going to get us to the promised land, my dear brothers and sisters. It's never going to get us the abundant life that God promised us. It can only be accessed through a relationship with God as our Father. It can only be accessed in the spiritual realm. Just like we, those of you who are fathers today and celebrating being a father, wanted to give life to a human being, wanted to have a child. Well, God wanted to have children born of the Spirit because He is a Spirit, right? So He wanted to have children born of the Spirit, children that were His family, children that belonged to Him. And so being our Father is important to God. It is important to God that we know Him as our Father. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 3, there's this fantastic prayer. I'm sure you are very familiar with it, but it speaks to this purpose. In Ephesians chapter 3, where this prayer, where Paul says in verse 14, For this reason, I bow my knee. What reason? Well, the reason was explained a couple of verses before, where it says that according to God's eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ, that to the intent that the manifold wisdom of God would be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Think about what this is saying. The reason Paul prayed this prayer about the love of God, the love of the Father, was because of God's eternal purpose, which is that the church of Jesus Christ would make known to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places of the manifold wisdom of God. In other words, your life has an eternal purpose and my life has an eternal purpose. And that purpose is found within God's building of His church. And how He builds His church is through a relationship of father to children. That's how He builds the church. And long after our flesh is dead, we will live on with God for His eternal purpose. Our life here is so short, we think it's the big deal, it's the whole thing, but it's only a portion of our true destiny, amen? So there's an eternal purpose in having our Father, in having God as our Father, in being part of the body of Christ and the church that He is building. And so in order for us to embrace that fully and access the promised land, access the abundant life that He promised us, we have to understand His love for us. We have to grasp it not only mentally, not only emotionally, but spiritually. It has to become a revelation that I am loved by God. Jesus said in John 15, which we'll go to in a minute, but Jesus said in John 15, I have loved you as the Father has loved me. Or as the Father has loved me, He said, I have loved you. That word has loved is an aorist tense, it's called. It means complete. It means perfect. It means that I have loved you perfectly and completely. There's nothing you can do to make me love you more. And there's nothing you can do to make me love you less.
God will not love you less if you don't perform. God will not love you less if you don't meet some expectation. He said, I have loved you with a perfect love. And that perfect love will carry you through eternity. That is the love he wants us to grasp. So that's why in Ephesians he said, I bow my knee. He said, I bow my knee. I have access to this Father in prayer. I have access, direct access to this Father in prayer. And he says, I bow my knee so that I can pray for you, that God would grant you to be... Well, hello, Theo. He says, that God would grant you to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. So he wants to pour strength into us. He wants to pour his Spirit into us. That Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith, that we would be rooted and grounded in love. That together we would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of God which passes knowledge, so that we can be filled with the fullness of God. And then to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all above that what we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God's love has given us a power. God's love has deposited a power in us that we've only grasped a tiny raindrop of, that the church needs a revelation of, that there is a promised land to enter and there is an abundant life to live. That God, because of his abundant, perfect, great love, not only saved us but healed us. And that's why we can pray for the sick, and that's why we can pray for Joanne with confidence, because our Father has said, out of my love I died for you. Out of my love I allowed my flesh to be torn so that you could be healed. Amen? This is the Father's perfect, perfect love. And that's why Paul said we had to pray this prayer. Because God is doing something of eternal value. He is building a family that he calls the church. And the only way that it works is that we know we are loved by the Father. No matter what we do, he cannot love us less or more. He loves us perfectly and completely. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's turn to John 15 just for a moment, so we can look a little bit at some of the things he said. Praise you, Lord. In John 15, just a few verses, we'll start in verse 9. As the Father loved me, he said, I have loved you, so abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. For greater love has no one than this, than he would lay down life for his friends. The struggle we have, because we are human and still prone to carnal thinking and carnal feeling so often, is that we can interpret what Jesus is saying as the call to abide and obey. Doesn't it bring us back under the law? Doesn't it feel like, once again, I have to earn, I have to perform, I have to obey his commandments? If I obey his commandments, he says, then I will abide in his love. But if I don't obey his commandment, does it mean I'm not abiding in his love? And the answer to that is not if we understand that God's commandments are the keys to the promised land of freedom that he died to give us. That every time I obey a commandment, I'm actually releasing a promise over myself. That I don't obey out of duty because I'm afraid God's going to be mad at me, or I'm afraid God's not going to love me, but I obey because I understand, because I'm living my life by faith in how much he loves me. And because I'm living my life by faith in how much he loves me, I know that every commandment must therefore be a reflection of that love that he has for me. So that I am the freest person in the world, but I obey his commandments, because his commandments are the keys. The commandments are the keys to his abundant life that he promised me. Amen? A heart that lives by faith in his love is free gift to me is the abundant life where I experience the joy of transformation. By obeying his commands, I am loving him not to earn or prove love, but to experience what his love has done for me. The moment that I choose to obey, I am empowered by grace in the Holy Spirit. So when I obey God, I am free in the truest sense, free of selfishness, free of lust, free of anger, free of resentment, free of unforgiveness, free of unbelief, insecurity, performance, people-pleasing, and all the other sins of the flesh. God doesn't only hate sin because he's holy. He hates sin because of what it does to us. He hates sin because it's destructive, because it destroys our relationships, because it interferes with our relationship with him, because it keeps us out of the freedom he died to give us. So I came to recognize that I abide in his love by obeying his commandments. I am accessing the very things that his love has purchased for me. I don't have to earn his love, but I want to experience what his love has given me. Amen. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, so really he wasn't saying if you love me or if you abide in me, he was saying since you love me, then obey my commandments. Since you love me, because you love me, obey my commandments, because as you do, you're going to be taking steps further and further and further into the freedom. It's freeing not to have resentment in my heart. It's freeing to forgive those who have hurt me. If I hang on to an offense, if I hang on to unforgiveness towards one of you, for example, you might be oblivious of it. You might not, it's not affecting you, it's destroying me. But it also destroys our relationships, our unity. God wants us to have unity, and we'll never have it in the natural because we're too different from one another. We have too many different opinions, too many different life experiences, too many different expectations, and so forth. But in the spirit of his love, we can come together as one. We can be his church. We can be the glorious church. We can hang on to the vision that God has an eternal purpose. And it's so easy. It's so easy to lose that. It's so easy to move back. Because our ego, our humanity, we like to perform, actually. We feel better if we've done something to earn something. And in our natural everyday lives, God expects us to be self-disciplined. God expects us to be self-controlled, but it is a fruit of the Spirit. In doing it in our own strength, we can only go so far. Yeah, we can go to the gym, as I've said before, and we can exercise and be in good shape, and we can eat a good diet, but we can't transform our own selves into the likeness of Christ. Amen. That is God's eternal purpose, and that can only be done through the Spirit, through a relationship with God as our Father. Yes. Amen? Yes. And so what God wants us to remind us of this morning is that his fatherhood isn't just some nice little addition to your life. Oh, isn't it lovely? I've got my life all planned out. I've got my life all under control. And yeah, God's my Father. Isn't that sweet? No. God being your Father, do you know that it was revolutionary when Jesus spoke these words about God being the Father of all mankind who would believe in him, who would believe in his Son Jesus? This was revolutionary. This wasn't something they took for granted. God being the Father. God having a perfect love that we don't have to earn and that we can't improve upon. Amen? Amen. So I want to close with Galatians 5. Just turn with me to Galatians 5 for a moment. Galatians chapter 5, powerful verses. When you want to have a fruitful tree, you can't go to the store, buy the fruit, and go home and attach it to a barren tree and call that fruitful. That's not how it works. It doesn't work from the outside in, it works from the inside out. We want justice. We know when things are not fair. And sometimes to release an offense, for example, or to choose the right thing, not to tell that little white lie, not to deceive the people you work with,
to choose the high road, to choose to obey God. It's not natural to the flesh, and it causes us to feel afraid, insecure. We're going to lose control of our own lives. We like to have control. We like to control our lives. And when we obey God, we have to let go of that control and trust in His love that much that we'll actually do what the Bible says we are to do. But in the long run, it is the way to freedom. And it feels darn good to have your heart released from garbage. It feels really good to have your heart released from things that, you know what, are not going to matter. When I leave this world, there's a lot of things that I've let go of that just are simply not going to matter anymore after I leave my body. Amen. What can man do to me, the Bible says, when God is my Father, really? And so this freedom, this talks about in Galatians, talks about this freedom in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. It says, "For you, brethren, have been called to freedom. Only do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all of the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." It is hard to love someone you don't like. Trust me, I know. But by the grace of God and through the love of the Father, it's actually very doable and very liberating. It's not the same thing. Loving and liking someone are not the same thing. Loving someone is a God thing. It comes from the Father's love. And when it's talking about serving one another, it's not just talking about setting up the chairs and making food and sitting by your bedside when you're sick. Those things are fabulous. Those things are wonderful. But we serve one another with our attitude. We serve one another with our worship when we come together on Sundays or whenever we come together. When we come together to pray, we serve one another by actually praying. When we come together to worship, we serve one another by actually worshiping. We come together to do a service in the community, then we do it with all our heart. That's how we serve one another. And in our personal relationships, how do we serve one another? Well, we serve by doing what's best for the other person. What's God's intention for the other person? Does that make sense?
Yes.
If you evaluate your relationships in your life and you evaluate them in the light of this freedom, and your heart is intent on serving, because that is the commandment, to love through serving, you're serving by not doing, thinking, or behaving in ways that cause your brother or sister to stumble, that interferes with what God is wanting to do in their life. It's way more profound than just being superficially nice to one another on a Sunday morning. That doesn't impress God. Unsaved people do that all the time. Wait, politicians do it all the time. Smile, shake hands, take pictures. Come on. That's not the profound love of the Father that He wants to impart to us. That is something we cannot accomplish in our own strength, no matter how nice of a person I may be. I cannot do the Word of God. I cannot make myself Christ-like. I cannot serve you properly in love in my own strength. It's impossible. But because God is my Father, and because I'm learning that His love for me is perfect, therefore I have nothing to prove, I don't have to be insecure. Because I'm learning that by living by faith means that I'm living by faith in the love He has for me, then I can choose to obey His commandments and trust the outcome is going to be for my freedom. And the more free I am, and the more free you are, the more well we all will be.
Amen.
Because our health physically and mentally is tied to our spiritual strength,
yes,
to our spiritual understanding of God being our Father, of God teaching us very clearly this matters to Him very much.
Yes.
The fatherhood of God, he said, J.J. Packer said, knowing God as your Father is the epitome,
yes,
is the ultimate point of being a Christian.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So, Father, today we ask you and pray that God, you would enable us by your Spirit and according to that prayer that Paul prayed. Ignite our heart once again with the understanding, Lord, that we are not following a religion, that we, Lord, are in fact in a relationship with you that only comes about by being born of your Spirit, your Spirit. I pray for every father in this place, every father, every grandfather, Lord. We need spiritual fathers, Lord. We need men, Lord, who father their children, Lord, with an eye of eternity, knowing that your great purpose, Lord, is to build a church based on the fatherhood of God himself. I pray for every father, and I pray for all of us, Lord, today, that we would once again fall in love with the gospel, fall in love with Jesus, fall in love with the words that he spoke about how he has loved us with a perfect love, that we would choose to obey you, Lord, that we would rid ourselves of the poisonous things in our hearts, Lord, the thoughts that weigh us down, the baggage, the strongholds, the stupid things, Lord, that have no eternal value. We rid ourselves of them in the name of Jesus today, and we believe, Lord, in your love for us today. We believe that you love us with a perfect love. And because of that, we are free to obey you, Lord God, with a heart, Lord, that wants to do your will and not grudgingly feel like we're your slaves, Lord God. The only slave we want to be is a slave of your love. And we thank you, Father, for that, Lord. God, let's just pray. Let's come together and just pray for Joanne while we're in this attitude of prayer. Let's just please pray. Feel free to pray. Don't just let me pray. I'll start, but anyone can pray. But Father, we want to bless Joanne. We thank you for such a wonderful Father that you are to her, Lord. We thank you, God, that you have called her, Lord, into your abundant life. We thank you that you have said in your word, I am the Lord who heals you. You said, I forgive all your sins, Joanne, and I heal all your diseases, and I am the Father who loves you perfectly. And there's nothing you can do to add to the love that I have for you. So God, we proclaim your healing power in Joanne today, Lord, together. We agree for her reason to be set free from every cancer cell, Lord. We believe that every one of those disease cells has to die in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we are full of gratitude today, full of thanksgiving, Lord, for your awesome power, Lord, that works mightily in us, Lord, as we pray. We come together in full agreement, Lord, in the Father's love, in the Father's word, in the Father's promise, that by the stripes of Jesus, Joanne has been healed, and no weapon formed against her is going to prosper, and with long life you will satisfy her, Lord, and show her your salvation. And that long after her body actually does leave this world, she will know and remember the time when you healed her of this dreadful disease, Lord God. So, Father, we give you all the praise. And all the thanks for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, that you can live and move and pass with me.
Amen.
That she is completely healed, completely restored.
Hallelujah.
Lord, life and Lord, by the power of Jesus. God, I thank you in the name of Jesus, for you said in your word that you can call upon the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
The name has power.
Hallelujah.
Healing and anointing, Father. And you said, for all those, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord,
thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Father, we thank you that as we call upon Jesus, our healer, that so power, that life giving power is flowing through her.
Lord,
driving away every cancerous cell.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank
Father,
you, Lord.
Thank you, our Lord, causing your way to us also come.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And God, we believe that she has received.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you, Lord. Praise Christ. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, just as we heard last Sunday, Lord, you said, Father, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength.
Thank you, Jesus.
revitalized. They will be brought back to as if they are young again, full of life, full of vitality and strength.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Father, I thank you, God, that Joanne is bound to the spirit of life in Christ Jesus and set free from the law of sin and death. That the spirit of God that lives inside of her is bringing her life. Is bringing life into her body, into her spirit, into every part of her being in Jesus' name. Because, Lord, we thank you that your words, your spirit filled words, their spirit filled words, their life giving words, their life changing words, their life empowering words, Father, as we release the word over her, God, we believe that word is working mightily. And you're watching over your word, Lord, to perform it within her, Lord. Father, you will not allow one word that we have spoken to fall to the ground, because the word of God, the seed that's been sown in her, is producing.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Our Father is the Father of this moment.
you, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's right. That's right. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We receive it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
We are blessed beyond blessed.
We are. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. 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 Amen, Lord. Amen. We've been hoping to get, so enjoy your Father's Day and have some great family time, and think of me as I go to work. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I believe there's probably some coffee and goodies and things. Margaret, I don't know how to turn off those machines.